Clouds are moving out so the sun can shine. You come rolling up in your 69, saying, hey, let's go, let's hit the road. We drive a couple miles to our favorite spot. Nothing on my mind but the love we've got. You're next to me and my soul is free. And in the middle of this moment,
hi, this is Carl Weinschenk at the Daily Music Break, www.dailymusicbreak.com. Please stop by to hear great music across all eras and genres and to get free email newsletters. Today, we're really thrilled to be speaking with singer-songwriter Jessica Campbell. Jessica's going to tell us a little bit about her music and what she's up to, and look forward to having a great conversation with her. Good morning, Jessica. How are you today?
Great. How about you?
I'm doing just fine, and we're all trying to stay warm wherever we are across the country. But we really appreciate you taking time out.
Yeah.
Jessica, to start with, if you can tell the folks where to learn more about you, hear some of your music, and possibly download it, that would be a great place to start.
Okay. My website is www.jessicacampbellmusic.com. Mm-hmm. My music is available on all digital outlets, iTunes, Amazon, Spotify. And if you are like me and like to pop in a hard copy CD in your car, you can order that on my website. I have a store and I'll send that right to you. That's the best way to get a hold of some music for me.
Beautiful. Well, that's great, and I hope folks do it. Jessica, you know, this is a probably pathetically general question, but could you describe your music to us to start with?
Yeah. I like to describe my music by first of all saying that I'm a singer-songwriter, my recorded music is more along the lines of like folk pop. When I perform live, I do full band performances, but when I'm generally on the road, I do a lot of acoustic performances. So it feels a little more folky in those venues, but folk pop is how I like to describe it.
Mm-hmm. Is it hard to go between the two kinds of presentations, or is it something you've been doing so long that it's sort of natural to you?
Yeah, I mean, I think there are benefits to both. You know, I love having a band and feeling the bass rumble and the drums and the whole thing and being able to kind of recreate what we've made on the album. But, you know, these songs are written on acoustic guitar for the most part, and, you know, performing them in that way kind of takes you back to the start, which is, you know, how the songs were written. So I enjoy both.
Mm-hmm. Now you have three albums released. Is that accurate?
Yes. Yep. Three full-length albums, and I have a few other EPs, but yeah.
Mm-hmm. How is it writing so much stuff? I never asked a musician this, excuse me, or a songwriter this. Is it a lot of pressure to come up with enough to put on an album, or is it more that you have a lot that you've done and it's kind of winnowing it down? What's that like for you?
Yeah. I actually... I've always kind of been at the place where I've had, too much material, if there can be such a thing, to try and pick and choose songs that either really represent me and who I am and what I've been through. I write 4 days a week, and here in Nashville we do a lot of co-writing and we write for other artists, and we're always, a lot of us that are full-time songwriters, we are always writing. And so that has lended actually a benefit to the songs I've recorded and my albums, because I have a lot of material. And, I'm then able to kind of sit with the songs I've written and say, I love this song. I'm very connected to it. I want to record it. And so But, you know, that process of whittling down the songs is very hard, especially when you've had a hand in writing all of them. It's like you're somehow connected to every song. But yeah, so
they're all your babies, huh?
Yeah.
What's the process like for you, Jessica? Does it start with the lyrics? Does it start with the melodies? Does it start with the rhythms? How do you, or is there no set pattern?
Well, there's really no set pattern. I will say my strengths lean towards lyric and melody. Actually, when I sit down in a room with somebody, I'm usually the one who kind of carries the lyric along a little more. And so that's kind of one thing that I really love to get in there and dig around with rhyme and, you know, and phrasing and all those kind of things. That's kind of where I really love to sit. But, you know, every day is different. Sometimes you have a melody and you have no words and you just figure it out. And then sometimes you have, you know, a great hook. And then you're like, how can I create the story around this idea? So.
Got to do a lot of different things. There's a lot of parts to a song.
Yeah.
I don't, as a non-musician, I don't think of it that way, but there are a lot of moving parts to a finished song. Who would you cite as some of your influences, Jessica?
Well, I actually, I grew up in North Carolina and I grew up, first learning about music and falling in love with music at church. And, you know, my grandma, she doesn't even need to pick up a hymnal anymore. She knows all the words. And, you know, so I was like surrounded by, gospel music and hymns, and harmonies and, you know, those kind of pieces from a young age. And then I actually did a lot of musical theater when I was young as well. So I feel like, you know, I have all these kind of gospel and musical theater and Broadway type influences. And then, you know, as I grew up and as I learned more about pop music and other songwriters and the singer-songwriter genre, which I really didn't know much about at all when I was growing up, you know, I fell in love with artists like, you know, Joni Mitchell and Bob Dylan. And, of course, there are a ton of singer-songwriters around Nashville that I really love, Patti Griffin, Mac McAnally, and just, you know, people who've written some hit songs, but their back catalog is really, you know, their most beautiful work, in my opinion.
Mm-hmm. It's very interesting. I was talking actually to someone who's a hip-hop person, and they commented that the emergence of the internet makes it easier for different genres to cross over to each other,
mm-hmm.
whereas
mm-hmm.
30, 40 years ago, whatever, it might not have been as easy to see what people are doing in what seems to be a completely disconnected, separate, discrete genre, but now that's almost easy to do.
Yeah, that's true. Well, and I, you know, I was from a tiny town in North Carolina, and, you know, what we had on the radio was pretty much all we had, you know, without having any venues around other than driving to Charlotte, which is, you know, a little over an hour from my parents' house. You know, that's what we listened to was what was on the radio and what our parents listened to and what our friends listened to. And so that's really a good thought, actually. That's a nice way to look at it. It's like the internet has totally changed that.
Yeah, it's interesting. You know, the website that I'm involved in, the Daily Music Break, is that whole idea that the music's not really as separate as it seems, that the silos and the barriers shouldn't be there at all. So it all plays into that. So how long have you been in Nashville?
So I moved to Nashville in 2006. And before that, I was actually a town of about an hour away called Murfreesboro, where I went to college. So in the Middle Tennessee area, I've been here for a while. I've kind of been pursuing music and a career in music and trying to figure out my sound and writing and all those things since 2006.
Mm-hmm. I'm just thinking when I heard you say Nashville, there's such a tradition of songwriting in Nashville. It must, you know, really be something to be a songwriter in Nashville with all the people who've come over the generations from Nashville. It must really, you must really feel a tradition when you're there.
Oh yeah. And, you know, people around here appreciate the songwriter, and we have some great listening rooms here, which are really hard to find in other places around the country.
What's a listening room?
Huh?
What is a listening room?
Well, a listening room is music focused. So, you know, if you're talking, you will get hushed around here if you're in a listening room. And, you don't go, you go to a listening room primarily to listen to the music. You don't, you know, some offer food and drink, of course, but, you know, there's no talking and there's no, like, just, you know, hanging out in the back corner chatting with your friends. It's like, it's a very focused type venue. And which is, you know, it's great to be appreciated as a songwriter and as an artist in those type spaces, because, you know, most venues aren't that way. You go to a bar, or you go play a venue, right. you know, it pretty much not and there are good listening rooms around the country, but your regular bar venue gig is not that appreciative. And and so, yeah, I actually enjoy telling the story behind the songs, and I think people, they get more out of hearing the song if they know a little bit of the backstory. And so that's another thing, is that, you know, in a listening room environment, a lot of the stories are told, which is really fun.
You know, I had never heard of that. That sounds really, really, really cool.
Yeah, yeah.
Getting back to the albums for a second, you have three. Is there an evolution of the albums? Are they all, you know, thematically or musically different, or are they all, you know, collections of really good songs? Do you see them as being discrete at that, you know, kind of fundamental level?
They are all, you know, different from each other musically, and then I think I can see at least my growth as a songwriter from album one to the third album. I've been working with the same producer for a while, who actually produced the majority of all three of those albums. And I feel like we've grown together in our relationship and with our trust with each other and the way that we approach the songs. So I think, you know, just I've matured as an artist a little bit more. But there are still, you know, there are times when I will go back to my first album and I'll listen to the songs again and just really love, you know, pieces of the choices that we made and when we were recording. So thematically, you know, I actually, this new album, I approached a little differently. There was a little more lyric about dreaming and about kind of just, you know, holding your feet to the fire and sticking with it. A little bit more than, you know, the love themes from my last album. So I think that's just a real reflection of where I am in my career and the challenges of the music industry and all those kind of things. So,
Does it seem to you that my dog is getting louder? She's getting louder. I got to go have a talk with him. And so when did the third album was just number three, the Roman numeral three, right?
Yes.
When is four coming out, and will it be IV?
Well, if I go by my reasoning for naming this album three, then it would be 10 years or 11 years before I could have another album called four. There's so many threes in my life right now. It's kind of why I named the album three. I just started calling the album three, because simply it was the third album, my third full length album. But when I started really looking at that number and realizing its significance in my life right now, it was undoubtedly the only title I could name the album. I am 33. I was 33 when the album came out. My husband and I just celebrated our 3-year anniversary. I'm one of three children. There's more than you want to know with the number three significance in my life right now. But after I really started digging down and figuring all this out, I realized that was the best title I could put on this album.
Sounds like the right one. And when do you have any idea when the next one will come out?
I don't. I'm back to writing now. I'm back to writing full time, and so we'll see. I don't know. I feel like, you know, I like to compare every album release to having a wedding, because you have all these moving parts. You've hired a mixer, you've hired a producer, you have all these co-writers, you have a band, you have a publicist, you have, you know, all these pieces, and they all come together for this one big event, and then it happens, and then you recover. And so I feel like I'm still in that recovery phase, but I definitely plan on recording more and keep putting music out.
Probably spend a lot on catering in both too.
Yes.
I read in the bios that you also are something of an activist. Africa, clean water, health care, I think, and economic freedom. Tell me, please, a little bit about that and whether that influences your music or if that's something that's just another discrete, separate part of your life.
Yeah, it does influence my music. I've traveled quite a bit on different trips across the world. I've been to Haiti. I've been to Honduras numerous times. I've actually never been to Africa, but just being, part of organizations who are really changing the world in so many ways by providing people who are less fortunate with basic needs. And there's the nonprofit that I work with here in Nashville is called Mocha Club. And it provides people with a very simple way to get connected with, enhancing the lives of women in Africa. And so it's basically like for $9 a month. The whole premise of Mocha Club is, you know, I can choose to give up 2 mochas a month to help someone else out. And that seems like a very simple exchange, or a movie ticket, or however, it's like $9 a month. And so Mocha Club is just very innovative in creating programs for these communities to grow and to be able to provide for themselves and get an education and have basic needs like clean water. And the area that I'm specifically associated with is called economic freedom. And it provides women in Ethiopia with a way to make a living for them and their family with respect and dignity. And they have several options of things to do, but they make these beautiful scarves, and we have the opportunity to sell those here and provide these women a respectable way of living. And that you can buy the scarves at livefashionable.com. And I also bring these scarves on the road with me because I think it's just really fun to share the word and talk to people about what's going on over there. So
beautiful. So, yeah, please repeat that URL, and is there a URL for the kind of parent organization?
Yeah, the parent organization is Mocha Club. It's the website is themochaclub.org, and the scarves are available on livefashionable.com.
Beautiful. Let me see. What other questions do I have here? Are you touring now or playing date, maybe not a formal tour? Are you playing any dates?
I am. I'm actually coming to Rochester next week.
Rochester, New York?
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Okay. Bring a lot of those scarves. wear a lot of those scarves.
Yeah. And I'm doing, I just, right now I'm mainly doing long weekends and one-off dates. So, but all of my tour dates are available on my website, JessicaCampbellMusic.com. And I'm just all over the place. So, good chances are I'll be somewhere around you if you're in the United States.
If you're
in the U.S.
You beat me to it. I was going to ask you to finish up to repeat the URL to find your music, but I think you just did.
Yeah.
So, why don't you say it one more time?
Okay. It's JessicaCampbellMusic.com, and it's Campbell with a P, like Campbell soup.
Jessica, I'd like to thank you very much for taking time. It has been really interesting talking to you. I think that's great with what you're trying to do to help people in other places. I think that's, that's as important as the music. That's a wonderful thing.
Thanks.
So I congratulate you on that, and thank you for taking time out to speak with us. I'm Carl Weinshank. This is the Daily Music Break at www.dailymusicbreak.com. Please stop by to hear music across all eras and genres and to sign up for a free email newsletter. Thank you very much. Bye-bye.